This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry coming to you today with our message that is an audio version of a message that was published back in February of the year 1998. This happens to be January of the year 2024. Now, the reason why I'm giving you the dates, if you don't already know by listening to any of the other messages previous to this one, is that in the course of transcribing this message to audio, I might be using references of people, places, or situation, or something that were relevant at that particular time back in 1998 or before then, that may or may not be relevant today. By the same token, I might add some stuff in the reading of this message that occurred after the publishing of this message, so that it might be relevant for, you know, this particular time. But as an always saying, when it comes down to the Word of God, His Word is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the world lasts another 6,000 years, His Word is still going to be relevant. And those of us that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and adjust our lives accordingly. Now, having said that, let's go to our subject scripture for this message. It's taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24 and verse number 9. And as I said, this is for the year February 1998. And if you have a Bible and you've gotten to that particular verse, passage of scripture and verse, you'll find these words recorded. It says, "The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men." The title for this message is "This Sin Called Gambling." This sin called gambling. Come on, baby. Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Yeah! Give me 5 on Miss Birdie in the 5th. 5 on 18 Black. Royal Flush. Jackpot. Bingo. Do some or all of these terms sound familiar? If you have ever been in a dice game, bet on a racehorse, played at the roulette wheel, played poker, or even played bingo, you have been gambling. And there are many other games out in the world that one who wishes to gamble can find. Now, the message for this month is one that many will find hard to swallow because it involves something that many look at as just a form of entertainment, which doesn't seem to be all that bad. But, as some of you know, it is anything but. First, what is gambling? The dictionary says gambling is the playing of games of chance for money. There are also other meanings dealing with business and investing, but it is this particular definition, the playing of games for money, that I want to address. The playing of games of chance, in its simplest form, means that a person is involved in something that leaves the end result of winning or losing up to someone or something other than oneself. In a crap game, your winning or losing basically depends on the dice and the numbers that they show on the face up side. In racing, you win or lose based on who or what crosses the finish line first. Winning in roulette depends on if you have your chips on the right number and color when the ball on the wheel stops on. In poker or other card games, it is a mix of cards you are dealt that will determine if you win. The slot machines allow you to win if certain combinations of numbers, symbols, or pictures appear in the window. With bingo, it depends on the cards that you have and the numbers that are drawn out of the container in which they are sitting. You yourself have nothing to do with the outcome. However, in some cases, people other than yourself may control your outcome. Loaded dice, marked cards, rigged races and slots, roulette wheels, and other games can and do work against you. In fact, depending on what we call the odds against you winning determines how much you will win if you are able to win. If the games are fixed, then the odds are almost astronomical. Now the point is this: playing these games and other things strictly for entertainment purposes, to me, would mean that you would not be losing anything because there is nothing being bet on the games other than some non-critical entity like play money or some such thing that has absolutely no value. I'm going to interject something here, something like you playing Monopoly or something like that, where you using play money and stuff, you know, it's no big deal about that. However, when money is introduced, then it becomes gambling flat out. Now, the scripture says the thought of foolishness is sin. Webster's Collegiate Dictionary describes foolishness as, number one, foolish behavior or folly; two, a foolish act or idea. And just who is it that comes up with these ideas? Fools do. Therefore, if the scripture says the thought of doing something foolish is sin, then what is it if a person actually does it? I can think about robbing a bank, and as dumb as that is, it is not as bad as if I actually tried to carry it out. You see what I mean? Well then, when a person puts money into one of these forms of entertainment to win money and realizing the odds are against them from the offset, even when the game is not rigged, That is a clear sign of a fool, because they might just as well just toss the money out the window for all the good that it will do them. What are some of the odds of these games? 1 in 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, and more. That is a ludicrous way to try to get money, because you have money to start with, presumably, and you want to throw that away in hopes of getting more money. Duh. Well, let's look at something for a moment. Let's look at God's perspective to this. After all, He does have something to say. First, the money that you have is really His. Psalms chapter number 24, verse number 1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." That means that everything on, above, under, and in this earth is His, including you. Therefore, your money is His. The only way you have it is that He gave you the ability to get it, no matter which way you got it, legal or illegal. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18, we find these words recorded: "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power or the ability to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So you see, I say your money and everything else belongs to God in the first place. Now, however, just so some of you won't think the wrong thing, if you got money illegally, or shall I say sinfully, you will be paying the price for it. God will see to that. Now, nevertheless, the money you have, God has entrusted to you to do things with it that will glorify Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." The money you have, He gave to you so that you could feed and clothe yourself and your family, have a roof over your head and shoes on your feet, to be able to afford the necessities of life, and to help others. Recreational things are also good. However, the way we seem to prioritize things as necessities and wants is where we have a real problem, and therein one of the main reasons we get into this foolishness. Gambling is a way of outwardly expressing what we don't really say, and that is, what God has given me is not enough. I want more, and I'm going to go out here and try to get it with as little effort on my part as possible. In other words, you don't want to work for it. We have all been told that the way to get wealthy is by hard work. But our nature is one that will always look for an easy way to do it. Well, there are those that will take advantage of that nature and come up with a way that looks good but in reality isn't. First, those that run the games are just like you. They want to make money the easy way, so the games are set up in their favor. If the odds were even all the way around, then they would not be in business very long, would they? Have you ever heard of a casino, racetrack, or bookie going broke because of losing money in gambling? That means whatever happens, they are going to be getting money. So, even if you win, let's say $1,000 for a $1 wager, the operators will possibly be getting 100 or more times that amount from the losers that supplied you with your money. Second, think about this. The money that you win is coming from others that tried and lost. So your winnings are not coming from the operator's pocket. Many of these people that lose may not be able to afford to lose the money at all. Their families may be needing the money for food, clothing, or other necessities of life, and because they see a slim possibility, and that's what it is, it's a slim possibility to make a killing and get their families out of the rut that they are in, they bet and blow it. Maybe you have been there, but you don't care. You want that big score, don't you? Well, let me tell you something. I know most of you haven't given a thought to God by your participation in this foolishness. Looks at you, that's right. God looks at YOU as being responsible for the effects that the loss may have had on a person or their families. In other words, God is looking at you, even though you're making a killing and things, it's twofold. You are essentially throwing the money that he's giving you away. But not only that, by your participating in gambling, this is something that I'm putting in here that's not wasn't in the original message that was printed. By you participating in this gambling and winning money, you are being responsible for the person that lost money and the fact that their families all of a sudden have to do without because that person was gambling, all because of one thing. And what is it? It's because if nobody gambled, then there wouldn't be any gambling going on for this person to go out there and lose the money that they lost. But you see, that's human nature tends to find a way to separate people from their money, whether they can afford it or not. But anyway, let's back to the message. Now, why does God see it like this? Because if there were no participants, like I said, there would be no gambling. And if there were no gambling, then there would be no one throwing money away that could be used to take care of their families. Romans chapter number 14, verses 12 and 13 say this. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There it is. putting a stumbling block or occasion to fall before your brother or your sister. This is specifically talking about for Christians in Christ, people that aren't saved that out in the world. This is still, even though it can reference to them, it don't really apply to them. But when you come out of the world into the church, once you become saved and things, you're not only responsible for yourself and your family, but you got to look out for your brother and sisters in Christ as well. Anyway, that's why your support in keeping things going helps them to draw others in to tear them down, because you're participating in it. The more participants, the more people are encouraged to keep on going and doing what they're doing, the more people are going to lose money. We are all linked to each other. We can either directly or indirectly affect others by our actions. Now, I find it funny that people will throw hundreds or thousands of dollars away gambling, but can be just as stingy as can be if asked to give to a charity or even to a church. Some of you say, I'm not giving any of my money to that preacher so he can go out and get a Cadillac or make a payment on his house, but you will give that much and more to the numbers man. Now, of the two, which do you think is going to get you a better return on your money, the church or the bookie? Let's see what Jesus says about giving to the church. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Very familiar passage of scripture to most Christians. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That is, God is making a promise. Jesus Christ is making a promise. Is when you give to the church and to the things of God and the ministry, that He will. It says right there, it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down. In other words, the money, you know, you get a box full of money. If it's all loose and things, you know, it'll cover, you know, to the top of the box. But if you can press it down, you can get more money in the box. Well, this is what it's saying by good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. The money's going to be mashed down so you get more money in the box. But then even after the box is full, there's going to be money coming out of the sides, you know, over the top and over the edges and things. All of that stuff, all of the promise from Christ. Now, you want to talk about odds and a return for your money. You can't beat God. He always comes through. It's a win-win situation. Giving money to the work of the Lord, like the church, isn't a gamble at all. He says, give, and it shall, not maybe, or a 1 in 100 or even 2 or 1 in 2 chance be given unto you. That is a promise from God. And believe me, He does not lie. Then He says it will come back good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That means a large return on your investment. How many of you could stand to be blessed like this? I know I sure can. Why would you want to throw your hard-earned money away on something that is only benefiting those that operate the gambling places when you can give it to something that will benefit all those that are in need? Then it turns around and come back and explodes blessings on you. This is part of God's plan to prosperity. There is no risk whatsoever. There are those of you that think this is all a joke. You may think it is just the rantings of a person who has been in religion too long and has lost his mind, talking about me. You are probably laughing about it. Well, look at the last part of the subject verse. It says the scorner or mocker is an abomination to men. Why? Because there is nothing like a fool that wants to try to make the one that is trying to set him straight look like a fool. Have you ever dealt with someone that is totally wrong and you were doing all that you could to help them out of their situation and had that person try to make you look stupid for doing it? How did you feel? It was all you could do to keep from going upside their head, wasn't it? Well, that is what God is saying. People in sinful activities tend to turn on those that are trying to set them straight and therefore turn that person against them. The person then goes off and lets them continue on until they destroy themselves. Could this be you? Some even try to vindicate themselves by trying to make God a part of their sin. They say that God blessed them in their winnings, while others say the church doesn't mind getting money no matter where it comes from. Well, here's a 411 for you. The preacher doesn't need to know where it came from. He isn't the one that will bless or curse you. Don't you dare fix your mind and your mouth to say that God had something to do with your winning, trying to imply that he looks favorably on it, talking about gambling. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Another thing, you can't give money to church that is ill-gotten and think that you are buying God's favoritism. You see, people will even turn on God. Now, that is a fool indeed. People will blame any and everybody for their problems when they develop. They refuse to accept the fact that they have a problem. They feel it is just a way of having fun, even though they can't stop. Yes, it gets that bad. We have heard of people running up credit card debt, mortgaging their houses, and even turning violent when they can't get ahead. These people, like some of you, or maybe all of you, started out saying the same things that you do. It's just a form of entertainment. I'll never get that bad. I can stop any time I want to. That, my friend, is just what the devil wants you to keep thinking. That way he can still lead you around by the nose until he can destroy you and your family. So what are you going to do, my friend? If you have a family, I hope you remember they depend on you to do the right thing. Turn to Jesus today. You will be a winner every time, all the way around. And that's what you really want, isn't it? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message, and I hope you got something from it today. And like I say, you know, all of the foolishness and the silly games we play when it comes down to how we go about doing things, and when we are, somebody comes along and tries to tell us that we were doing something in sin or it was wrong in the eyes of God, we either want to jump down their throat and tell them to stay out of our affairs or something like that, or we turn around and try to say God doesn't mind, he's blessed me with this, he's blessed me with that. God does not bless anybody through gambling. If you do hit a jackpot or something, you can blame that on the devil, because the devil wants to try to keep you under his control, and sometimes he'll let a little something come your way just so you can have the mindset of, well, I finally hit something, now I'm on a roll. Yeah, you right on a roll, all right. You're going to roll right on into poverty, lose your family, your house, your car, and everything else, lose your job depending on the circumstances. Gambling just, you know, is just totally foolishness with a capital F. And you should stay away from it as soon as you possibly can. Get away from it and leave it alone, because it's only going to bring you destruction. Well, in closing this message, let me just say to you once again, may God bless you and your families real good. Until we come together again for another message, good day.